اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
سورة الفاتحة. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ألف لام ميم، أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
The subject we are speaking about is fitna. And we see that there are some trials, some fitna that Allah makes us go through. And there are some things that we do that bring about these trials and sufferings. So we see that one of those things that we do is sins. By disobeying Allah, by doing these sins, we know that there are misfortunes and sufferings that come upon the people. Here we see that Imam Ali alayhi salam had mentioned that there are two sins that bring about misfortune, sufferings upon a person. The first one we mentioned yesterday, and that was making fun of others. When someone makes fun of others and jokes about other people, then without a doubt, that person is going to go through misfortune, and he's going to go through sufferings in this life. And it so happens that the very thing that he is going to make fun of in the other person is going to happen to him also. Meaning, for example, if he says that the other person, for example, is ugly, then Allah will make him ugly also. Right? So the very thing that this person tells the other is going to be same way. Now obviously, amongst mu'mineen and amongst believers, how do we speak to one another in terms of this issue? Meaning, for example, we see that this brother has, for example, a defect. We see that this brother has a fault. Now, how do we speak of this fault? Well, the issue is that, you know, there are two ways to say things. You see, if I say to someone, you're fat, you know, let's say, and I tell someone, you're fat, you know, you might get offended. But if his doctor says, you're fat, right, then he listens to it, and he pays him for it also. First he listens to that and he also gives him money for saying that he's fat. Right? So now what happens is that when you see the difference between the two, you see that there's a way that the doctor, when he tells someone that you are sick or you have this problem, then it means that this is an advice that he's giving him for his own good. So when we want to speak of others false, we need to speak to them and in a way like a doctor speaks to his patient. And explain to him how it's done instead of, like for example, we see the fault in him and we tell 10 other people about his fault. Right? And you heard yesterday what happens to that. But the way to do it is to make sure that we want to advise the person just like a doctor advises his patient. That is how we need to talk to people in order for them to listen to us and not be offended by the words that we say. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad.
Now the second sin that Amir al-Mu'mineen is speaking of here that brings about misfortunes in your life and brings about sufferings in your life, and this is also a sensitive subject with Allah. This sin is very, you can say, sensitive to Allah. And we see that one sin that brings about so much distress, and you see if anyone wants to destroy their life, then they commit this sin. If anyone wants to destroy their life, then all they have to do is just do this one sin and they will see that in this life, their life will be destroyed. Yeah. Allah will not wait for the hereafter. Yeah. That one sin that you see, if you do not want to do, and I want everyone to listen to this so that they understand how important this is. That sin, that if you do that, then there is no way but your life is going to be wretched and destroyed, and there will be misfortunes in your life, and that sin is disobedience to parents. Those who disobey their parents, disrespect them, then these people who are doing this sin are responsible for destroying their own life. This is a sin that brings about misfortune in their life. And you will see that if one of the things that if you see someone whose life is wretched and who is involved in a lot of adversities and afflictions and sufferings, so as I said, you need to mark off the things that he is doing. So one of the things you mark off is that, have you done anything to disrespect your parents? Have you done any disrespect? If you did not mark that off and say, well, yes, I did, that means that is the cause of it. And until that cause doesn't go away, until you do not go back and please them, until you do not go back and make them happy, then it's going to end that way also. Your life is going to finish that way also. You know, a young man was dying, and the Messenger of Allah reached his bedside, and he told him to say, you know, that he's dying, he's at his last minutes now. And we see that the Messenger of Allah went there and he told him that, listen, say la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. The man wasn't able to open his mouth. He couldn't say it. You know, his mouth was shut. You know, he didn't know. His mother was at his bedside. So the first thing the Prophet asked his mother is that, are you upset at him? Are you upset at him? He said that we haven't been speaking for 6 years. We haven't been speaking for 6 years. He said, has he done something to upset you? She said, yes, we haven't been speaking with each other for 6 years. And the Prophet pleaded with her, I ask you to forgive him. And because the Prophet said it, you see that she forgave him. Right? She said, yes, I forgive you. Right? I forgive him. So when he was forgotten, you know, when he was forgiven, then the Prophet said, say la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And that boy now was able to speak, and he said, la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And from here you can understand that unless your parents are not happy with you, then the difficulties in your life are going to continue until you die. And even after that. Now Allah speaks up, because to Allah this is a very sensitive issue. And I say sensitive because He puts the obedience of Allah, He puts the obedience of the parents next to the obedience to Allah. Alongside it. When He mentions it, He mentions it alongside it. And you see the way He mentions it is not just like He mentions other things. For example, with other things He says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, this is the way. Do this or do that. Or this is the news or whatever it is. But you see, the way He says it is with grandeur, with so much honor in itself. And you see the ayat in which He speaks about this, He says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَنْ لَا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ أَحْسَانًا. He says that Allah has said it, this is written, that there shall be, that you will not worship anyone but Allah, and that you will show goodness to your parents. You see, when He mentions obedience to Allah, He mentions being good to your parents. And we see when it was said this word ahsan, what does this mean? It was asked, then we see that Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam had said, he was asked this word ahsan, being good to them, what does this mean? He said, what it means is that whenever they need something, you give it to them before they ask you for it. Before they ask you for it, you give it to them. Now, obviously, what does that mean? Right? Obviously, what does that mean? You know, that we don't know what they need. You know what I mean? The reason we don't know what they need is that they're so far away from us, we don't know where they are. He says that when they need something, you give it to them before they ask for it. They shouldn't even ask you for it. You should give it to them. It means that you should be so close to them that you even know what they want and need. So that when they need something, before they ask you, you know that you are getting it for them. They don't have to look at you and ask you for it. You need to bring it to them before they even ask you. This is the meaning of ahsan. Because understand this, ahsan is a little bit higher than itaat. Understand this, ahsan is a little bit higher than obedience, just obedience. Why? Because you see, in obedience, there has to be a question. In ahsan, there is no question. You see, in obedience, there needs to be something asked. If the parents ask you for something and you do it, it's called obedience. Then you're being obedient to them. But if they don't ask you And before they ask you and you do it for them and they don't need to ask you, this obedience is called ihsan. This is called ihsan. And Allah is saying, do ihsan with your parents. Do ihsan with them. This is the truth. And then Allah goes on and says, وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جُنَاهَ الظُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. He says, act submissively towards them. You know, be like humble before them. Be submissive before them. Now what does this mean? Again, this word itself. Because you see, we need to clarify these things. Because here, you see, there's a lot of gray area. Being submissive, what does that mean? So here we see that it was asked from Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam. A person came to him and asked him, what is the meaning of waqfid lahuma? This meaning that be submissive to them. The Imam said it is five things. It's five things. And just listen to these five things so you know what your duty is toward your parents in this verse. Right? And here it says the first thing is that do not look at them with distaste.
Ya Allah. Ya Allah.
Whenever you look at your parents, do not look at them with distaste. That you are tired of them. You know? That, you know, you don't want to deal with them. Right? Don't look at them that way also. Right? And here you see Allah used the word eyes. You know, He wanted your eyes to be controlled in this behavior. Don't even look at them that way. Be it far that you talk to them that way, that's different. Don't even look at them in that way. This is that meaning. Then it says, number two, do not raise your voice at them. You see, no matter what you do, do not raise your voice at your parents. No matter what happens. Because when you do that, right, again, this is the meaning what Allah says. Be submissive to your parents. This is what it means. Do not raise your voice. And I'll explain why, inshallah, later. As I come along, I'm just mentioning these things so you know this. Right? Then he says, when you're walking together, do not walk in front of them. Do not walk in front of them. Meaning that when you're walking together, because when you walk, you always want to be behind them, not in front of them. Unless they ask you to lead the way and do something. But when you're walking, you see that in that respect is shown that even that they should not see your back, that you should be behind them looking at their back. Right? This is that respect. That Allah wanted this respect in your heart for your parents. Right? And then the Imam says, number four, he says that you do not, when you are in a gathering, you do not sit in front of them. You know, you don't sit in front of them unless there's a reason for. For example, if your father or mother wants to sit on the wall, that's fine. You know, then you can sit in front of them. Right? So it doesn't mean that you get the wall and you ask your father to be without a support, huh? So, here what happens that unless there's a reason otherwise. But when you are in one place, it means that you should always let them sit ahead and you should sit behind. Right? And number five, right? It is said that when you give something for them, never, never put your hand above and give. Always have it underneath. See, when you give and take from one another, right? You see, when you are going to give and take from one another, one is the giver, one is the taker. You see, usually the one who takes, his hand is like this. The one who gives, his hand is like this. It's above the one who takes, the one who receives. The one who gives, his hand is always above. So even if you give something to your parents, never ever think that you are giving them, but you are actually taking from them the benefits. You see how much in detail Allah has gone and Islam has gone to show the relevance of the obedience of your parents. Right? And the respect that you must have for them. Just one more hadith I will say in regard to obedience, and we will go on with disobedience. One more hadith so that you understand this. That what it means. Send me a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Here it is said, my friends, that the army of the Muslims was getting ready for jihad. And the mu'mineen, they were preparing to get ready. And everyone was, you know, making their swords ready and everything was getting ready and getting all the things arranged for them. Because when you go for jihad, you don't know if you're going to come back or not. You don't know, because once you go for jihad, your life is in danger. So whatever happens. So you see that the messenger was there. And a person, a mujahideen, came to the Prophet and said, you know, I want to go to the battle. I want to go to jihad. Then the Rasulullah encouraged him and said, if you go, then there are only two things that can happen. If you live, meaning if you die, then Allah is going to give you an eternal life where He is going to provide you sustenance. Meaning if you go to jihad and become shaheed, you will have an everlasting life. Everlasting life. And Allah is going to give you the sustenance to make you happy. And if you live, meaning you go to jihad and you live and you come back, then Allah is going to send you back in such a state that He has washed all your sins and you're like a newborn baby. These are the two options in jihad. When you go and you die, if you die, then it means you have eternal life with Allah and Allah is giving you the rizq. And the second thing is if you come back, then your sins are washed away. And you are clean of all sins. Understand that. So this man, obviously excited, knowing that he wants to go, he said, you know, I also have parents and they want me to stay. I also have parents and they want me to stay. So then when Rasulullah heard that, he said that you should stay. He said you should stay. And I let you know that if you serve your parents for one night and one day, it is equal to a jihad of a lifetime. For one night and one day, if you serve your parents, that's equal to all the jihad you can do outside. You can fight all the wars and this and that. But no, this is more worth it. This is our reward. Imagine, this is the extent of obedience that Allah asked for it. Now my friends, understand. What happens when you displease your parents now? This is obedience, right? Now Allah has mentioned it. And there are many other hadiths that obviously I'm not going into. Because I want to, one, explain to you the height of the importance of the obedience of parents. Then the second thing, what happens to you if you disrespect them? What happens to you if you disrespect them? Now I want you to see, first of all, what does disrespect mean? This, the word that is used in law is called aq. Aq means to displease or disrespect your parents by your speech or your action in such a way that causes them unhappiness. This is what it means. So now in this regard, we see, and I'm going to say, yeah, just two riwayat. Right, two hadiths, you know, I just mentioned it on both sides. One for Akhirat, let us see this. We see that the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad al-Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alayhi
He said that there are three types of people. There are three types of people that Allah is not going to speak to. Meaning that He will be so upset with them that He doesn't even want to speak with them. He doesn't want to bother with them. Three people are there. Right? And He will not have His mercy on them at all. No mercy. And He will also not let their sins be purified in hell. You see, for those women who do sins, they might go to hell also, so that their sins are going to be purified there. Allah will not let these three people's sins also be purified. Three people. One, He is not going to talk to them. Two, He, you know, like for example, He is not going to have His rahmat, His mercy on them. And three, He is not going to let their sins be cleansed at all. Now what are these three things? Who are these three people? The first one is the one who believes in destiny. One who believes in destiny, that Allah has destined everything. Someone who believes in destiny, Allah is not going to speak to him. Allah is not going to have mercy on him. Why? Because the person who believes in destiny is saying that Allah is the cause of evil. And if he thinks that Allah is the cause of evil, then Allah is saying that I don't even want to speak to him now. I'm not even going to speak to that person who says, I believe in destiny. Allah has written everything down. That is a sin that Allah does not speak to you, nor will He have mercy on you. This is the first one. Second one is a drunkard, alcoholic. Allah doesn't speak to someone who drinks alcohol or who becomes an alcoholic, drunk. Allah does not speak to him, nor have His mercy on him, nor is He going to let his sins be purified. Two. And the third person is the one who is disobedient to his parents. Who disrespects his parents, Allah is not even going to speak to him. Nor is He going to have any mercy on him. Nor is He going to let his sins be purified and cleansed. The words of the Messenger. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
My brothers, we pray to Allah. And these prayers that we make, obviously is a sign that we are Muslims and that we do pray. That we do pray to Allah. And we do want forgiveness in our life. And we do want Allah's mercy in our life and His compassion. This is why we pray. This is why we go into sajda. This is why we show humility and humbleness before Allah. But you know, Imam Jafar al-Sadiq alayhi salam had said, that Allah does not accept your prayer if you stare angrily at your parents. If you stare angrily at your parents, just in anger, just stare at them. Allah says, alright, I'm going to make sure that his prayers are not accepted. Finish. There's no way that your prayer will be accepted. My friend, understand the importance of this. What happens to that person? What happens to that person? And here is where we come to our topic. Imam Naqi alayhi salatu wasalam has said, he's explaining one of the things that happens to a person who doesn't disobey Allah is that Allah will decrease his sustenance and that He's going to give him misfortunes in this life. Understand this much. This is where we are at. Those sins that bring about misfortunes. That happened. In the akhirat it will happen. You're not going to go to heaven. There's no way that can happen. There's another hadith that says that the fragrance of heaven can be smelled from 1,000 years away. The fragrance of heaven can be smelled from 1,000 years. If you travel years, 1,000 years, you can smell it from that distance. But Allah is saying that He will not let the person who disobeys his parents smell it at all. You will not even smell the fragrance of heaven. Right? So those who want to go to heaven, make sure that they are not being a culprit of this sin. And now understand this. You see the importance of how much it has. What happens to that person? In this dunya, what happens? Misfortunes come. A person, he was in Medina. He lived in Medina at the time of the Prophet. He lived there and he was a rich man. He used to take care of his children so well. They used to wear the best clothes and everything, have the best house and everything. And you know what? The only thing he didn't do is that he used to neglect his parents. They were old, and so he didn't take care of them. He didn't even give them their due. He wasn't respecting them. And what happened? Allah took everything that he had of this dunya away from him. Until he became so poor and wretched, you know, that he lost all his respect. This person lived in Medina as a wretched, poor person. He became an example in Medina. Everyone used to see him. But you know, even if you're poor, you see there are people who are respectable and there are people who are not respectable. Allah doesn't even make you poor, but He takes away the respect of people from their eyes. That the people won't respect you if you disobey your parents. People will have no respect for you. You will become a degenerate. And then when this person became like that, then Rasulullah gave his example to the people. He says, take example from him. If you disobey your parents, this is what will happen in this life. This is what will happen in this life, my friends. This is a sin that brings about misfortune here. If you want to destroy your life, then this is the easiest way to do it. If you want to make your life hell in this world, then this is the easiest way to do it. If you want to end up poor and destitute and wretched, then this is the easiest way to do it. Just disobey your parents, disrespect them, then you will see how easy it is for you to become a wretched, poor, destitute. Now, where does this end? Where does this end? And this is what we need to see. Allah is saying that, you know, we go on with this obedience to our parents. For how long? You know, for how long? You know? And especially if they have a long life. You see, to them, you know, they raised us up 18 years and we are on our own. For example, I'm saying, right? 18 years, you're an adult, you know, and you know, you're on your own and you're gone. Now, if they become old, now how long do we take care of them? For how long? And how much? What is the extent? You see? And understand, and why? And this is, in this one riwayat explained that. And here we see the Messenger of Allah explain that. And I'll explain it to you. You send me a loud salawat. You see, my friends, there was this person who came to the Prophet. A young man who came to the Prophet. Not a young man, but you know, an adult. He came to the Prophet and said, you know, my mother is an invalid. You know, she can't even move. I have to, wherever she wants to go, I have to take her on my back. In those days, they didn't have like rides or wheelchairs or anything. I have to take her on my back wherever we go. And I have to feed her with my own hands. In fact, I have to clean her when she goes to the bathroom. I mean, I have to do all these things for her. Right? And I do it. I have no complaints. I'm doing it. But I'm asking you, have I fulfilled my right of her obedience? Do you understand the question? He's not saying that, okay, I don't want to do it, or, you know, how long do I want to go for it? He's asking whether the right of the obedience has been fulfilled. Meaning that, have I done what I'm supposed to do for my mother? Right? Or have I repaid her for what she has done for me? See, the haq means that she has done something for me. Have I repaid what she has done for me? That's the question. And Rasulullah said, no. He said, no. Just a simple no. And now, understand this. How hard this person is working. I mean, how much is he obeying his mother and serving her, that he has to carry her everywhere. He has to feed her with her own hand. He has to clean her excretion. He has to do everything for her. She cannot do anything. And then whatever she wants, he has to get for her also. And all of these things she is doing. And you see how much in our society are we doing to serve our parents. Of course, this person is doing much more. Who is going to carry their parents on their back? Right? I mean, just to get them from their bed to their wheelchair, they're tired. Yeah, just to get them from their wheelchair into the car, they're saying, you know, what's going on with my life? Right? Imagine that. And this person is doing all of that. And he's saying, have I done my job towards my mother? Have I repaid her for what she has done for me? And the messenger is saying, no, she hasn't. Now understand why. Messenger explained also, why is this, my friends? Why is it that you cannot repay your parents for what they have done? He said, because when your mother was taking care of you, when she was taking care of you, and she was very busy looking after you, she was very busy looking after you, taking care of you, spending sleepless nights and all these things. And you also are doing the same. But you know what? She, when she was raising you and when she was serving you, she was making dua for your long life. So that as long as you live, that's when her responsibilities will end. But you are waiting for her death so that your responsibilities can finish. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Understand this, a mother's responsibility ends when you have life. Your responsibility ends when she has death. When she dies, that's when your responsibility ends. So you are waiting for her to die so that I can be finished with this. She's waiting for you to live. She's waiting for you to live. You cannot pay for that. She's making dua for you to live. You see, my friends, this is the reason the difference is there. Understand how much Allah and the Ahlul Bayt have explained to us the obedience of parents. What it means to obey our parents and how much it is. Because this is that sin which brings down a person. It destroys a person in this life and brings about misfortunes. Brings about misfortunes. Messenger of Allah had said that Allah has sent me on this earth as rahmatan lil alameen. As a mercy unto mankind, unto everyone who is here, except for those who don't obey their parents. My mercy does not include them. You see, this is how hard it is. This is how harsh it is. You have heard the hadith, you have heard the riwayat, what it means. But now you understood how important this is. And this is a sin that brings about misfortune. Now understand that when you speak of a father, when you speak of a father and obeying your father, listen, you have two fathers. You have two fathers in the words of hadith, in the words of our imam. One who gave you life in this dunya, and the one who gave you life in iman. Your father, one who's your biological father, he gave you life in this physical existence. And then you have a spiritual father who gave you life in the hereafter. And there's a difference between the two. The difference between the two is the difference between the body and the soul. One who gives life to your body is one father. One who gives your life to the soul is another father. And whichever one is more important, then you see who's the more important father. You see, who's the more important father? What is more important, dunya or akhirat? One who gave life in dunya, this is one father. The one who gives life in the akhirat is the other father. And Allah has explained, everyone knows, my friends understand this, everyone knows their father of dunya. Well, not everyone, but most people know what is it. They know their fathers in this dunya. Let's say their parents. If they don't know their father, their mother. Right? Everyone knows their parents in this dunya. That's why all these hadiths came down to explain the importance of parents. All these riwayat and ayat came down to explain the importance of their obedience. Because if you understood the obedience of those who gave you life in this dunya, then you will recognize the obedience of those who gave you life in the akhirat. Salawat ala Muhammad. See, understand this. This is the reason, my friends, just to explain the importance of the obedience of those who gave you the real life of the akhirat. That's why you see Allah's messenger has said that ana wa ali abawayhi hadhihi al-umma, me and Ali are the parents of this ummah.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We are the parents of this ummah. Why is he saying that? Because if you recognize the position of parents and obedience to them, then you will recognize your position to us, that our obedience is higher than even your own biological parents. Our respect is more than even your own parents. That's why those who recognize this point, my friends, if you want to know who's a mu'min, who's not, they're known by this point. Those who recognize this point, they will only remember their parents one time and cry for them. But the imam who gave them life, they'll cry every year for him. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad.
That's how you know who's a mu'min and who's not. Those who lose their own parents, how much do they cry? You see, everyone cries this and that. But you see, but the one who knows his spiritual father, who has recognized him, he remembers him every year. He remembers him every time. You see, this is the reason why, when you look at what it means to have that love for your father, not just your biological father, but your spiritual father. Imam Ali said, anyone who has taught me a word has made me a slave for life. Why? Because this one word has taken me to Allah. That is more worth it. My father just brought me into this world, but my Imam has given me and opened the doors of heaven for me for an eternal life of happiness. My submission to him is much more. My respect of him is much more. My love for him is much more. My friends, remember, what is learned in childhood stays for a long time. These are lessons to be taught in childhood to your children while they are young. Because those things that are learned in childhood, you see, they stay for a long time. You know, they stay for a very long time. And you see, the effect of it might not be known then, but it will have an effect much later. Those who come to these majalis, these children who come here, even if they're not listening to the speech, they hear, even if they're not listening to it, at least they are hearing the cries for someone who loves someone else.
Nare Haydari!
See, this is called tarbiyat. This is called raising the children. These are lines that are being written in their heart that is going to stay with them forever. You know? This is how you teach the love of Ahlul Bayt to our children. And that's how they grow up with. And when they grow up, they will learn, they will understand why this love was there. At least they see the expression of it right now. At least they see the expression of it right now. Later on, you will see, they see the extent of what effect it will have. You know? There was a companion of the Prophet who saw that the Prophet was walking with Imam Hussein by his side. Imam Hussein was a little baby. And he was walking by his side. And he met him. And he also had his son who was older. Was older. He was a young man. A youngster, a youth. His son was a youth. And he met him on the way. He met him on the way and he saw him. He saw him there. And you know, they started to talk. And Imam Hussein was behind. And you know, all of a sudden the Prophet stopped. After walking a bit, he stopped. And he turned around and he asked his son to come, the young man. He asked him to come forward. And he came forward and then he kissed him on the head. He kissed him on the head and said that this is good news for your parents that they are going to go to heaven. You know? Glad tidings I'm giving you of heaven for your parents. You know, so this show emotion, and the father obviously was also a little bit, you know, surprised, glad at the same time because he's the parent, and at the same time he was a little bit shocked at how come, right, that the messenger showed so much love to this youth. He just, you know, kissed him and he was like so close to him, you know. And he asked him that, you know, why are you doing this? I mean, you know, what happened, Ya Rasulullah? Obviously, you know that what happened as a messenger, like everyone else, for example, everyone else, they can only see ahead of them. But Allah has given the messenger and the Prophet the ability to see behind him also. He said, I saw what your son was doing. I saw what your son was doing, and that's why I couldn't but to give love to him, express my love for him. He says, what was he doing? He said that as my grandson was walking, he was walking behind him, kissing the prints of his footsteps. He was, the steps that Imam Hussein was taking, he was kissing those steps. He was kissing those steps as he was going forward. And you know what? His parents have instilled this love in this child. And I have made dua for the parents. You know, I have made dua for the parents that they will also go to heaven. That inscription that was put on the heart, that father was so pleased. The father's name was Mazahir and that youngster's name was Habib ibn Mazahir. Habib ibn Mazahir, from that age, you see, knew what the love of Hussein was. His parents had instilled it in their hearts that when you see the grandson of the Prophet, this is the person that you should. They understood that. That's why when he grew up with that love, that ma'rifat changed, and that ma'rifat and that ilm that he had, that even Imam Hussein, when he wrote to him, saying these words. When he wrote a letter to Habib ibn Mazahir, and you know that all the companions who went to Imam Hussein, they came there. But Imam Hussein invited Habib. And he wrote this letter. And I will explain how he invited them also. So that you understand the whole scenario. You know, when Imam Hussein had reached the land of Karbala, it was the 2nd of Muharram. When Imam Hussein had reached there, you see that the armies and anyone who is going to come to Karbala, all these armies used to come and people were coming and this and that. Since Imam Hussein came, there was no one who came to be with Imam Hussein. Now all the armies that were coming for Yazid. They're coming on the other side. All the armies, like 1,000 men army, another battalion of 5,000, or this one, that one. All the battalions are coming, and they're all coming for Yazid's army. No one is coming for Imam Hussein's army. And you see, even those people who were with Imam Hussein, who were doubtful, they're also starting to run away. They're all starting to run away. No one else is coming for Imam Hussein, you know? No one else is really there for Imam Hussein. And you know, there you see that one day, when all these armies are coming and the people in the camp of Imam Hussein were getting hopeless as to anyone is going to come for us. So Zainab, salamullahi alayhi, she asked for Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein came and met her and said that, "My brother, I've seen that since we have come here, all the people who are here are here to help Yazid." He said, "All the Muslims who are coming here, they're coming to help Yazid. Is there anyone in this world of Muslims that is going to help the grandson of the Prophet? Is there anyone who's going to help you?" No one is coming there. When Imam Hussein heard that, so he said, "Zainab, haven't you seen what our grandfather has gone through and what our father and our mother has gone through? We know the hardships that we face and we will be sabir on that. But if you want to see someone come for us, I have made arrangements for that. I will make arrangements for that also." And you know, Imam Hussein wrote a letter. He wrote a letter to Habib ibn Mazahir, who was his friend. You know, because Zainab asked, and she said that, you know, when Imam Hussein asked her, that who are you expecting to come here? She said, "I don't expect anyone, but at least my brother Habib ibn Mazahir. I know that if he hears your situation, he will surely come here." And so, when Imam Hussein wrote the letter, he said, "Ila rajulin faqih." He says that, "I am writing this letter to a man who was an alim." Imam Hussein is calling Habib an alim. Someone who has understood Islam, this is Habib. Why? Because when someone grows with the ma'rifat of imamat, then they become an alim. Then they become an alim. So now you see that when these people, when all these people, they came, when that mailman reached the house of Habib, it was hard to reach there because of the situation of Kufa. But at the time he reached there, Habib was about to have his dinner. And as he was having dinner and the knock came on the door, and you see that he went outside. And he heard this person who said that, "I am the mailman from Hussein. I am the messenger from Hussein who brought a letter to you." When he heard that, he closed the door behind him so that no one in the house could listen. And he put the drape there and he came forward. He did not look at the person who brought the mail. He looked at the mail right away. He said, "This is from my master Hussein." How many years since my childhood that I have been taught to serve my Imam? That Hussein is writing me a letter. He opened that letter. and he read that letter. Can I say this to you so that you understand what Imam Hussain had written? He said, "My friend, I didn't want to bother you. I didn't want to bother you. But the only thing, if I was alone, I wouldn't bother you. But you know, the only reason I'm writing is that the daughters of Rasulullah are with me." He said that the daughters of Rasulullah are with me. The daughters of Ali and Fatima are with me. When Habib heard that, his feet were shaking, his knees were buckling, he couldn't control himself. And then he hastily wrapped up the letter, and then he came inside. He made his expression as if nothing had happened. He came inside. His wife was looking. She had heard the man say that he's the messenger of Hussein. She heard him say that, and she was looking at him with anxiety and anxiousness as to what he has in his hand. She said, "What is it? What happened?" He said, "Nothing. It's Hussein who sent me a letter." He said, "Hussein has sent me a letter." He says, "What are you going to do about it?" He said, "I'm going to have dinner." He said, "You're going to have dinner? Hussein wrote you a letter, you're going to have dinner? At least read what he wrote." He said, "Nothing, I read it." And so what is it written? He said that the daughters of Rasulullah are here and he's asking for help.
Ya Hussein!
His wife, who's a mu'min and a believing woman, she asked him, "So what are you going to do about this? Are you doing something?" He said, "I'm having dinner." She had ornaments on her hand. She took those ornaments out and she gave to him. She went to her closet and got his sword. He says, "You wear my ornaments, I'll take your sword and go and fight." Habib said, wait, I was just testing you, my wife. I was just seeing where you stand on this issue. Now I know. Now I will go to Hussein myself. Do not worry. I will go and defend Hussein and do myself. Habib is 80 years old. He's not a fighter now. He's 80 years old. He's hardly able to stand up straight. 80 years old Habib. Now he goes for a sword. He gets ready. She gets him ready. And now when he's leaving, she said, "Listen, I just have one request from you." She knows he's not coming back. She has just one request. He says, "When you go to Hussein, give him my salam before you give him salam." Now Habib leaves Kufa. Habib leaves Kufa to come to Karbala. And you know, in the camp of Hussein, no one has come to aid Hussein. No one has come to help him. And everyone is in such a somber mood that there's no one who's laughing, no one who's happy, no one who's smiling. Everyone knows what's going on, that everyone is against them and all these armies are coming to against them. And then when they see someone riding towards Karbala and they see someone else is coming and they say, maybe some other army is coming, maybe some other people are coming. And then you see, as they see the person who's coming, he is coming towards the tents of Hussein. Now when they look at who's coming, they see it's Habib ibn Mazahir. When they see Habib, the whole camp starts to celebrate. The whole camp starts to celebrate. Habib ibn Mazahir is here. Someone is here to help us. Someone is here for Hussein. And everyone starts to celebrate, and they're smiling and laughing and having a time. The only time that in Karbala that everyone was so happy was when Habib ibn Muzahir, he came to Karbala. When Habib ibn Muzahir came to Karbala, oh, what a celebration it was. Ali Akbar was happy, Abbas was happy, everyone was smiling, and they're all hugging one another that Habib ibn Muzahir is here. Habib ibn Muzahir is here. And Habib is 80 years old. He's not a warrior. That's why you know that Hussein's army is not about age and strength. Hussein's army is about Iman and Marifat. When they saw Habib, they became so jubilant that they all started to become so happy that the noise of their happiness reached the tents. And when Zainab heard them laughing, she asked Vinda, why are these men laughing for? Why are these men celebrating for? What happened? He asked Fizza, go and see what's going on. When Fizza came out to see that Habib ibn Muzahir has come, he came back and told Zainab, that mistress, that you see, Habib ibn Muzahir is here. He has come to our camp. That's why everyone is celebrating. When Zainab heard that, there was a smile on her face. And she started to giggle. And she was happy. And she told Fizza, that Fizza, go and give my salam to Habib ibn Muzahir. Say that the daughter of Fatima is giving salam to you. And Fizza came forward and she said, Habib, the daughter of Fatima is giving salam to you. When Habib heard that, he just went on his knees buckled, he fell down, he took the dirt from the ground of Karbala, put it on his head and started hitting his head and said, what a day has come of the house of Rasulullah, that the daughters of Rasulullah are sending salam on a servant like me.
يعلم الذين ظلموا أيام قلبا ينقلبون وحتى حسين
يا حسين